from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Tuesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on Newstalk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, let's look back at the AB's season and see how they went, really. Geoffrey Archer, the one and only, joined us for a chat about short stories and other things. Petrol prices, something might actually be happening with this, and plant protein, there's definitely a lot happening with that. But before any of that, there's been an engagement.
It's The Biz on the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ on Newstalk ZB.
News overnight, there's going to be another royal wedding, of course. It's not all cake and dresses. Next spring's wedding is also likely to have a large economic impact for London, as well as a positive impact for the royal brand, of course. He'll be doing a lot of work now that the Queen is stepping back and Philip's retired. Thomas White Global Investing says when William and Kate were married, it was estimated the event brought in between £1 and £2 billion to the UK economy, but smaller businesses believe that was offset by a loss in productivity. But the Confederation of British Industry calculating that the corresponding public holiday caused a loss of £6 billion to the UK, in terms of output and revenue loss. So you win some, you lose some.
And
more.
That's quite apart from the fact of the money they spend on the stupid thing in the first place.
Exactly.
The money the royal family spends on it. Of course, where do they get that money from? From the wider population, of course. Anyway, my feelings are quite clear about this. It's funny, we had an interview about the America's Cup as well and the supposed economic benefit of that too. I think it probably falls into the same boat. Moving on, the All Blacks. This is something else I've been arguing with Mike about. He reckons they've had a good season. I'm not as convinced.
Clive Woodward, no less. The great Clive Woodward. Post that Wales game over the weekend, could not have been more complimentary about the All Blacks side. Eddie Jones, as good as he is, as well as he's done, was right when he said yesterday in Monaco, Steve Hansen should have won the coach of the year. The world sees us for what we are, the best there is. We've won everything, won the championship, won the Bledisloe, we're still ranked number one 8 years in a row, we've won the Northern Tour, and in doing all of that, we rebuilt, or we're in the process of rebuilding. And we're rebuilding because what really counts, I mean really, really, really counts, is of course the World Cup. And we learnt that lesson before 2011. Before 2011, we were beside ourselves. Oh, how soon we forget, eh? But we were beside ourselves over the fact that we won everything all year, all season long, won everything. But then we choked at the World Cup and had done since we won it at its inception. All that got rectified, of course, in Auckland and then London. But since then, almost as though we are pre-programmed to find fault, we've gone searching for other aspects of our game to be picky about. No business is immortal or immune to change and upheaval. No team, no sport, no individual. Yet unless we win everything by 50 points, there's something not quite right. I believe in Hansen and his team. I believe New Zealand rugby run a world-class, if not world-leading program that keeps us at the top. I believe we breed players who are blooded into positions of greatness in a way that keeps us winning and the best in the world. And because I believe all that, I have loved the season, loved the All Blacks, and have not a doubt in my mind that next year will be as good, if not better, and 19 will be 3 World Cups in a row. Now, why wouldn't you believe that?
Because, he spent a lot of time telling everybody how terrible the Australian team's been this season, and yet we lost to them at one point. Didn't even really look like winning that game, to be honest. I guess you can ignore some results and focus on others. Geoffrey Archer was on today.
The colour in your life, I mean, do you reflect on that much? I mean, it's been a remarkable life, hasn't it?
Very privileged. And you're quite right, fascinating. And when I look back on it, I think how lucky I've been. And in so many ways, because I had an amazing marriage, which has lasted 51 years, with an amazing woman who's now chairman of the Science Museum in Great Britain, and yes, the Queen's made her a dame. So you're right, I've had a very privileged and very fortunate life.
You speak very well of your wife and the head of that Science Museum. And I mean, she's out working, running Britain, for goodness sake. You two have never been more active.
Well, she's the one, funnily enough. It's interesting you say that. I seem to be going everywhere now as the guest of Dame Mary Archer. I went the other day to the opening of the Bloomberg building, and they put her between the Governor of the Bank of England and the Lord Mayor of London. And I thought, You know, you're the one. I'm just hanging about here.
Isn't that lovely? That's you must be thrilled at that.
I'm very proud of her.
So you should
very
be.
Very proud of her.
Now, can I ask about Brexit and how big a mess this is?
Well, it's interesting you're asking me at this split second, because I had lunch with a senior MP today, and he says the truth is we don't know what the agreement on Brexit is going to be. He is an optimist by nature, this particular MP, but he was optimistic that the final deal would be quite good. And his reasoning was simply that the Europeans need us as much as we need them. Mm. And they're not going to just get rid of us. That would not suit them at all.
I love his pronunciation. He talked about the IRA at one stage, doing a nice epiglottal stop on the A, because, of course, most people say IRA. Like a ray at the end. Anyway, well, I got a bit distracted by that. Let's talk about petrol prices, because I've got to fill up today.
Good news. If you're one of those who thought the petrol industry is a jack-up and we're all getting ripped off and somebody needs to be hung, drawn and quartered for it. Now, you remember Judith Collins started it all. I was critical at the time in the sense it looked like a headline grab to me as opposed to anything substantive, but I might be wrong. The initial report didn't find a lot, and an update is due, which hasn't stopped the new minister in charge, Megan Woods, demanding she see some detail. Now, that part is definitely a headline, given the update isn't due actually until November 30, i.e. Thursday, so she's demanding something that's probably already in the post. Now, the bit here that will take it from noise to action is the threat of the Commerce Commission. This is to be worried about if you sell petrol for a living. The Commerce Commission, they're ogres, and I've got little of any time for them, but I'm sure they would argue they're only following instructions. Between the media mergers they've denied, Vodafone and Sky, NZME and Fairfax, their approach to those real estate agencies I told you about yesterday over the price fixing, they seem to want to get in the middle of business and send signals, so big petrol might well be freaking out. And part of it is self-serving for the government, of course, this whole inquiry, because since the government's arrival in office, the dollar's fallen, and a falling dollar means increased imports and oil's an import. So if the government can turn our attention away from their economic performance or the confidence in the dollar and set our sights on names like Caltex, Shell and Gull, that may well serve them nicely politically. Of course, what may well be forgotten in all of this is whether there's anything actually to answer at all or not. I mean, you can't argue when you look at the marketplace, you can't argue there aren't a good number of players in the market, you can't argue there isn't competition, and that competition is fierce. And in a free and open market, who's going to tell people what price can be charged? I mean, in a market with such large variables, how do you tie down a price that's acceptable if you conclude there is something that needs sorting in the first place? In other words, if the government go to the Commerce Commission. And if you do, you are, of course, setting a precedent. The price of a litre of gas is now determined by the government, not the market. Now, that might well thrill some people, I don't know, but you only have to look around the globe and see the countries where governments set pricing to see that that is no recipe for economic success.
I thought we were all supposed to be hydrogen-powered by now. Now, cars are basically running on water. When's that happening? As long as they keep selling pies, that's the main thing. I'm going to finish up here. Yes, that's right. Hungry at the end of the podcast again, because once again, we're talking about plant protein.
Tim Wilson wants to make a clarification on last Friday's program. After 8 o'clock in the morning, we did the chicken without chicken taste, and he claims now it was not remotely like chicken. He didn't think it was chicken. He wanted to say so, but was too scared to say so because the woman was in the studio and he wanted to appear nice. And I said, mate, you got to harden up and tell it like it is. I saw it as being close, but not quite across the line in terms of, certainly in terms of texture. In taste and smell, they were getting dangerously close. And the reason I tell you this is Beef and Lamb New Zealand is now carrying out some research into alternative proteins. They're doing this in China and San Francisco. Basically, they say this, for better or worse, alternative protein is here. We're not seeing it as a replacement, but we're definitely seeing it as an alternative. And so they're sweating it. Maybe sweating it's too strong a word, but they're cognizant of change are coming. And I tell you what, in tasting the chicken without chicken last week, and I've got an open mind on this. I'm a traditionalist. I like a steak. I like a bit of chicken. I probably always will. I don't know that I'll go to an alternative for the sake of it, unless one day they can produce something that's artificial that smacks me between the chops and I go, my God, I cannot tell the difference. And at that point, it'll either be a price thing, if it's cheaper, or if it's better for me, or I don't know that I would necessarily eat something just because it's, I don't know, grown in a lab as opposed to on an animal. But they're getting closer, and even Beef and Lamb are starting to recognise that.
I can't believe Tim Wilson came on this program and lied to all our listeners like that. I think we shouldn't have him back. I'm Glenn ZB, and one thing you can count on is I'll always be straight with you. That was the rewrap for Tuesday. I'll be jamming some more straight talking into your little Prezi box tomorrow. See you then.